dependent on our hearts. Amen. Hear our corporate cry. Amen. Our prayer is that revive your own work. Amen. Revive the work of your hands. Amen. In the midst of the years, Amen. We pray for a new revival. Amen. We pray for a final revival. Amen. We pray for a great revival. Amen. To come to your recovery. Amen. We pray for this. Amen. Lord, this morning we pray for this country. Amen. We pray for the United States of America. Amen. This country that you have used. This country you have raised up, Amen. Lord, for your move on this earth. Amen. Blessed is the nation whose God is Jehovah. Amen. We pray that you will keep this country. Amen. You will keep the people of this country. Amen. To worship you as their God. Amen. To know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Amen. Lord, your hand be with her. Amen. Continue to use her. To administrate your government, Amen. Your economy on the whole earth. Amen. Lord, we pray for the churches Amen. In all of this country, Amen. All the dear saints Amen. In your recovery today. Amen. We pray revive them, Amen. Bless them, Amen. Visit them, Amen. Revive every local church, Amen. Revive every saint. May all be filled with you, Amen. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Amen. One with God, Amen. Mingle and blended with you, Amen. To become your testimony today. Amen. Lord, strengthen your testimony Amen. Of every golden lampstand. Amen. Lord, we pray, make every one of your church Amen. A praying church. A church that is taking the ministry of prayer, Amen. Lord, to another level, Amen. To meet your need today. Amen. We pray for all the saints, Amen. That together they will constitute a praying priesthood. Amen. Every saint will be functioning. Amen. Every saint will be praying. Amen. Lord, make your house again a house of prayer. Amen. We pray for this, Lord. For your move on this earth today, we like to declare once again this morning, we're here joined to your move. We're the great wheel, together with you in the heavens, the great wheel of the move of the triune God. We pray that this wheel will move, this wheel will roll to crush your enemy. To work out your heart's desire in the last of these days. O Lord, build up your church. Build up your body. Defeat Satan. Defeat your enemy. Usher in your kingdom. This morning we pray your kingdom come. Your name be sanctified. Your will be done. On earth as in heaven. Hear this prayer, O Lord. To you be the kingdom. To you be the power. To you be the glory. Forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Well, saints, we come to message 4 of this weekend's conference on this subject of prayer and God's move. Of course, some of you were not with us in these last 2 days, but it's okay. I hope that all of us will not, after this conference, just put these outlines away and just leave with some inspiration. I'm afraid that kind of inspiration may be real, but it would be somewhat like vapor. Even before today's over, that vapor would have disappeared. So how about we make a change? We make a change. I would like to ask all the churches, all the leading brothers, all the saints, to find some way after this weekend to get back into these outlines. I will guarantee you that whatever you have heard didn't quite stick with you. And many of the points, we really did not dive deeply into that due to the time limitation. So it is worthy for you to study and to get into them again in some fashion. I hope you will do that, and I hope the leading brothers will lead the saints in this way. Our burden this weekend is not just to cover certain truth. Our burden this weekend is that all the saints will receive a charge, a commission from the Lord in a fresh way to rise up to pray. We don't want to talk about prayer. We want to pray. We don't want to discourse concerning intercession. We want many, many intercessors to be raised up to fulfill the Lord's need today. We made it very, very plainly clear in the last three messages that without our prayer, without the church's prayer, God would have no way to go on. So prayer is joined to God's move. And the prayer that we're talking about this weekend is not just some common personal prayer for our own needs. Those prayers are legitimate. Those prayers should be going on all the time. We are talking about a higher level of prayer. We're talking about, in a sense, a different kind of prayer. We're talking about the prayer that is related to God's move. Prayer that would be an expression of our sympathy to God's wants and desires. Prayer that is the church joining the body, joining the head for God's administrative move in his economy on this earth today. So the prayer, the typical prayer that is shown to us by the Lord himself is the one that we talked about last night in Matthew 6. Pray in this way. Our Father who is in the heavens, your name be sanctified. Your kingdom come, and your will be done in heaven, so on earth. This is the kind of prayer that we are talking about that concerns his kingdom, that concerns his name, that concerns his will. I think it is time for the recovery as a whole to rise up to another level, to another place, to another dimension of prayer in these last days. But here we are in Northern California with so many churches and so many saints. Let us pioneer this prayer. Let us cut the way with this prayer, with this kind of a prayer. Let us take the lead to pray this kind of prayer in his recovery today. This is not a small calling. It is a special call to a special prayer. Now this morning, I will take part of the time to cover this outline. And then I still need about 30 minutes or so to cover the 100-day prayer. There will be 100 days of prayer starting today and ending in December 21st. 100-day prayer that we would call upon all the saints to enter into so that we would leave this training with a job, with a task, with a mission, 100-day mission to pray with the Lord in twos and threes in the principle of vital groups. So I will talk about that before this meeting is over. Now, let us come to prayer and God's move in the epistles and revelation. We cover this subject in the books of the law and the books of history in message 1 in the Old Testament. Then we cover this kind of prayer in the prophets in the second message. It's also in the Old Testament. Then last night we came to the New Testament. We covered prayer and God's move in the Gospel and the Acts of the Apostles. So today we conclude with the Epistles and Revelation. All right, so please read together with me Roman numeral 1. In Paul's first prayer in Ephesians, a prayer for revelation, he prays that we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, with the eyes of our heart being enlightened, to know the hope of God's calling, the riches of the glory of God's inheritance in the saints, and the surpassing greatness of God's power toward us who believe. So Paul had two prayers in this great book of Ephesians, one of the top, one of the deepest epistles there is. The two prayers are one in chapter 1, from 17 to 23, and the second one in chapter 3, verses 14 and 21. Now, I think it would be good for us to read these two prayers. Roman numeral is the first one. So please open with me to Ephesians 1, 17 and 23. These are the two great prayers of this apostle. All right, let's start. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of him, the eyes of your heart having been enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the operation of the might of his strength, which he caused to operate in Christ in raising him from among the dead and seating him at the right hand in the heavenlies, far above all rule and authority and power and lordship and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age which is to come. And he subjected all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of the ones who fills all in all. This is the prayer. This prayer is a universal prayer, a prayer that encompasses the entire economy of God. This is also a prayer for revelation. And I would say in the context of our burden this weekend, this prayer is too much related to God's move. Apparently, it does not seem that way, but it is so. So Paul prayed this prayer. He bowed his knees to the Father in the heavens to pray this prayer on behalf of all the saints. In this prayer, he prayed that the saints would acquire a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that their eyes, the eyes of their heart, would be enlightened, and that they would come into a certain knowledge, the knowledge of the hope of God's calling, the knowledge of the riches of the glory of God's inheritance in the saints, and a knowledge of the surpassing greatness of God's power towards those who believe. Now, I don't have the time to unpack these. These three things are great. They are grand. They are too key to God's move on this earth. We have to pray likewise, brothers and sisters, in these days, as we pray for the saints, that they would not be in darkness, that their eyes would be open, that they will be given wisdom and revelation to see these divine things. And when they see these things, they will become these things. And actually, there is a result, there is an issue to this prayer, and that is in verse 23. It says, which is the church, which is its body, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. The seeing of these things, the hope, the riches of his glory, the greatness of God's power in the process, seen in the processes of Christ. All this is eventually toward us. Toward us. We need to see this toward us who believe. That means toward the church. There's a transmission out of this revelation. A transmission of the triune God in all of his calling, all of his riches, all of his power towards us who believe, to constitute us, brothers and sisters, to be his church. So the issue is the church. The object is the church. The goal is the church. The church which is his body. The fullness of the one who fills all and in all. This is what the Lord, God wants to gain. And for this, the apostle prayed. A, the hope of God's calling. Is Christ in you the hope of glory? Christ realized by us, experienced by us, and gained by us to the fullest extent to be our ultimate manifestation and consummation as our glory is the hope of our calling. You see, we need to pray that we would all see this. We must not say this is too deep, this is too mysterious, this is beyond our reach. No, that is wrong. All of God's children need to see and know this hope. B, the riches of the glory of God's inheritance in the saints speaks of God sealing us with himself to make us his inheritance for his enjoyment, and God pledging himself to us to make him our inheritance for our enjoyment. So, the first is related to God the Father, and this riches of the glory of God's inheritance to be enjoyed by us, that is brought to pass by the sealing Spirit. By the sealing. We were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise on the day of our salvation. That sealing Spirit eventually become our pledge. That is the foretaste of God becoming our portion, our whole inheritance. Now we come to C. C has to do with Christ, the Son. The surpassing greatness of God's power, his resurrection power, his ascending and transcending power, his subjecting and subduing power, and finally his heading up and overruling power. And this is all seen in all the works of Christ, in his resurrection, in his ascension, in his subjecting all things under his feet. in his ruling over and heading up the whole universe and all things on this earth. This is operating in us. This power that was so real to Christ is today operating in us. This power of God is not just effective in the head, but also in his body. This is in fact toward us who believe. And it is to the church. It is to us individually. And it is to the church corporately. Dear saints, we all must apprehend this power. We must all experience this power. And this is the power that will cause the church, the body, to come into being as the fullness of the one who fills all in all. That means the fullness of Christ, the embodiment of God. Well, we need to see. And the apostle prayed that all the saints would see these things. Things that we possess already. But if you're blind to it, you will not experience it. Today is not the time to beg God to give us these things. Today the need is our eyes would be open that to see these things are already in us. Amen. That these things are ours already. Amen. That is what we need to see. So many are still blinded to this. So we need to pray. Now we come to Romans 2. Please read. In Paul's second prayer, he prays that we would be strengthened into our inner man for God's unique work to build himself into our being. So let us read chapter 3, 14 through 21. I would ask the brothers to read one verse and the sisters the next. Brothers, 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father. Sisters. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit into the inner man. May be full of strength to apprehend with all the saints what the breadth, the length, and height, and depth are. But to him who is able to do superabundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power which operates in us. Amen. So actually you see, many of the key terms that were in Ephesians 1 in the first prayer is found here. What is the significance of this second prayer, great prayer of Paul? It is a prayer for experience. After revelation, there's a need for further prayer. And that is the saints would experience what is revealed to them. They would experience what they see. And this prayer is that all for this to take place, this prayer is firstly that all the saints would be strengthened into the inner man by the power of the Spirit. And by this kind of strengthening, Christ would be able to make his home in their hearts. This is not a small thing. This is the move of God. And not only so, but that these saints being strengthened would be able collectively to apprehend all the universal dimensions of Christ. Today, the move of God is that we would experience the riches of this Christ to become His church, His body. So we need to pray that the saints would break through, would enter into the good land, and to walk the breadth of it, the length of it, to know the heights and depths of it, to live in Christ, to walk in Him, and eventually to know the knowledge-surpassing love of this Christ, consummately to be filled unto all the fullness of God. These are great terms. These are great, great things, but all the saints need to experience them for the Lord, for God to gain the church. So he continued his prayer to Him who is able to do superabundantly above all that we ask or think. So you see, this is his prayer. Paul realized, no matter what, his prayer is still limited. His prayer is still inadequate. So he called on Him to go beyond his prayer, to do something superabundant, something even beyond the imagination, the thinking of our mind. Yet according to this power that operates in us. Brothers and sisters, I'm very burdened, even in reading this, about this reoccurring speaking about power, about strength, about being strengthened, about the might of His strength. You see, for God to carry out His purpose among us, He has given us, according to the riches of His glory, this dynamo, this might, this power, this strength. It has been installed in all of us. And this installation is connected to a heavenly power plant. That is He Himself. That is Christ. And the whole act of producing the body, of building up the body, is tied to this transmission. This transmission. Now, there's no problem with this heavenly power plant. And there's no problem with the installation. The wires are there. What is needed today? Well, first of all, this transmission of this mega watts of power will do all kinds of things that we cannot do in a superabundant way. It caused the dead to be resurrected, caused the earthly to ascend to the heavens. It will cause us to be with Christ, to subject everything under our feet. Paul even said in Romans chapter 16, right? The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. That should happen by this transmission and even overruling. In Romans it says that we should reign in life. Not just be saved by life barely, but reign in this life. This is the highest sign of maturity of a believer, reigning with Christ. Well, all this is our portion. And the key is in this transmission. And everything has been installed already. So our need, what is our need? And that's why he prayed this prayer. Number one, we need to see this. We cannot be blind to this. We must see this in this divine and mystical realm. Then number two, we need to be strengthened to flip the switch. Amen? It's all installed. Today the need is to flip the switch. You know what is a switch? The switch is our human spirit. So he prayed, strengthen the saints into their inner man, which is their mingled spirit. That's why he prayed for experience. The key to experiencing Christ is the human spirit. So when we pray for the saints, don't pray just for their health, just pray they will prosper. Pray for their spirit. Pray that they will all be strengthened into their inner man. Because it is by doing so that we can begin to apprehend this rich Christ. Meaning that we can arrest him. We can gain him. Let's gain Christ. That's what Paul said. Am I right? I count all things dung that I may gain Christ. And that is a matter of experience. Well, for this we need to pray. So let me read. In Ephesians 3, our spirit is a person, the inner man, for us to experience Christ for the church. In order for to experience Christ unto the fullness of God, and I did not finish here, eventually we will be filled unto all the fullness of God, and then that fullness of God is actually the church. And it says, to him be the glory in the church. Clearly, the aim, the goal here is the church again. All right. So, we need to be strengthened with the fourfold power of the triune God into our spirit through the Holy Spirit. B, we eventually can know the knowledge surpassing love of Christ that we may be filled unto all the fullness of God. The fullness of God is the issue of our enjoyment of the unsearchably rich Christ as the embodiment of God dispensed into our being through his indwelling. Christ imparts the riches of all that God is into our being to make us the fullness of God, the corporate expression of God. So God's move on this earth is to gain such an expression. Well, dear saints, we're going to have 100 days of prayer. Oh, I pray that the Lord will strengthen all of you into your spirit. You know what is 100 days of prayer? It's 100 days of every day flipping the switch on. Turning on this divine transmission. Every day for 100 days. You can imagine what power will come from the heavens to this earth through the church. And so many things will happen as a result. Of course, the issue of this is in the church growing, the church spreading, the church increasing, the church functioning, the church operating, the church being built up, which is what God wants. We want to see this in all the local churches on the earth, and for you and I, especially for the churches in Northern California, because this is where we are. Okay, let's come to Romans 3. Have I finished? No. I didn't read C, right? We are being strengthened into our inner man according to the riches of God's glory, and then unto him is the glory in the church. First, the glory of God is wrought into us, and then it returns to God for his glorification. And that glory is in the church. Okay, please read Romans 3 together. Ephesians 6:18. Now don't forget, the burden this weekend is on prayer. The focus is prayer. Don't forget this. There are many points here, but don't forget the burden is prayer. So we come to the last chapter of Ephesians. Paul was not praying there, but now he's turning to charge the saints to pray. Now you pray. Just one apostle, however great he is not adequate. The saints have to pray. The church has to pray. So he says, by means of all prayer and petition, all kinds of prayer, praying at every time in spirit. Every time in spirit. And watching unto this. There's always watching needed when prayer is there. Watch and pray, they go together. We watch by praying. And when we pray, we're watching. Lord, set up your watchmen on the walls. What does that mean? That means set up praying people on the wall. Watch and pray. Watching unto this in all perseverance. It's very important. 100 days you need to persevere. But actually, it's not 100 days. It is what? It is our whole life. Am I right? We need perseverance. That's why in Paul's charges, another word that is always associated with prayer is persevere. Persevere in prayer because we stop. We give up. We become weakened. And we cease praying. So we need all the perseverance we can summon. All the perseverance that we need. And petition. And petition concerning all the saints. To pray is to pray concerning all the saints. I hope every time we pray, we would have this verse as our reality. A, according to the revelation of Ephesians, we have to pray at every time in order to have the body life in reality. To have the church life depends on our continual prayer. B, all prayer means all kinds of prayer. Short prayers, long prayers, loud prayers, silent prayers, public prayers by a number of saints, and private prayers by ourselves, etc. I would say thanksgiving prayers, praise prayers, all kinds of prayers. It is by means of all prayer that we watch and petition concerning the saints. See, watching unto this means that we need to be on the alert for the maintenance or the maintaining of our prayer life. You know, dear saints, God will not maintain your prayer life for you. You have to maintain it yourself. Well, this 100 of days of prayer, we're going to especially promote the prayers of two or three. And I will say something that the two and three will greatly increase our perseverance. We will find strength in our companions to continue this kind of prayer. D, all perseverance means that we have to persist and insist to the uttermost. This indicates that there may be something holding us down, holding us back, suppressing, oppressing, depressing, and hindering us from prayer. So we have to persevere and not give up. Now, those who pray would know this experience. There are times we were just doing nothing, you know, just in the course of the day, We're not doing something. But I tell you, the atmosphere is there. The air is there. What do I mean by that? The evil spirits that swarm the air are there. And that evil spirit is doing everything to depress our human spirit. So a kind of atmosphere of heaviness would come to us. A kind of feeling of oppression would come to us, making hard for us to breathe, to carry on. Sometimes it's even physical. I'm not joking. And especially when you want to pray. Do you have the experience? You're quite okay. But the moment you kneel down, you start getting tired. You start getting dizzy. You start feeling sleepy. When before that, there was none of this. Well, it's not just some psychological things. There is something in the air in opposition to intercession. So when this happened, you have to say, aha, now I know what's going on. I am going to persevere. I'm not going to stop now. I know the stratagems of the enemy. I know his devices. That's what he's doing. So I am not, in fact, I am going to not be held down. I'm not going to be deterred. I'm not going to be held back. I am going to pray. And so often, just after you pray this way, in 5 minutes, you're totally awakened. You're totally full of strength. All right, I hope this would be all of our experience. You need to experience this, to pray in this way. Some of us, our spirit is not strong enough, so we cannot sustain a longer prayer. And we cannot sustain certain deeper prayers or prayers of warfare because the spirit is weak. So we all need to build up our spirit. And may the 100 days in part do that in us. All right. Number four, please read. In Colossians 1. Paul prayed that the saints would be filled with the full knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So Colossians 1. There, we see the apostle praying still that we would be filled with the full knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So this would be quite matching the prayer in Ephesians 1. Please read 5 now. In Colossians 4:2, we are told to persevere in prayer, watching in it with thanksgiving. So at the end, Paul again charged the believers, the Colossians, to persevere in prayer. Okay, A, to persevere is to continue persistently, steadfastly, and earnestly. Even Brother Lee used the word insist. So I would add, insistently. Yeah. You need to make a determination. Brothers, prayer needs your will. Not just your emotions or your mind. The exercise of our praying spirit calls our will, our renewed will in our soul into action. Use your will. This is the time to use it. Don't use your will to disobey God. Don't use your will to what? To resist God. Don't use your will to be stubborn. But use your will to pray. Okay, B, We need to persevere in prayer because prayer involves a battle, a fight. Two parties, God and Satan, are hostile to each other. The third party consists of God's chosen and redeemed people. God's chosen and redeemed people will actually decide the outcome of the battle between God and Satan. So look at me. I am man. And I would even say, I am not just man, I am God's people. I'm a redeemed person, God's chosen one. And on this side is God. And on this side is Satan. That's the picture in the Garden of Eden. Am I right? Where God is on the one side and the snake, the serpent, is on the other. And man is the battleground. Man is the battlefield. This is where God and Satan deck it out. This is where the warfare occur in us, in our being, in our spirit, in our soul, in our body. And apparently God, the devil, won round one. But you all know every boxing fight is not one round. How many rounds typically? Huh? I don't know. I never go to Las Vegas, you know. 10 rounds? Or I don't know, whatever. Not one round. So winning round one doesn't mean you win the fight. Well, we all know. We all know who won the fight. By a knockout. Hallelujah. Amen. It is God. Amen. But anyway, my point is, man is the battleground. So as God's chosen and redeemed people, today is still the same. Satan is here. And God is here. There's a fight. There's a battle. So when we pray, we're here. Somewhat in a neutral position. Now, to pray means we resolve, we make a decision to side with God. Now, it is not just God and Satan fighting, like in the case of man, the created man. Now, it is God's redeemed standing here. Now, it's up to this man to determine who will win. So our will, brothers and sisters, is too important. You've got to use your will to stand with God, to side with Him. Who is on the Lord's side? Prayer is such an action to side with God. So we eventually decide the outcome of the battle. There's a hymn 880. You can sing that. Again, I recommend the hymns under the section of prayer. In these 100 days, how about along with prayer, learn some of these hymns? These hymns will help you to pray. See, in order to fight on God's side against Satan, we need to persevere in prayer. This perseverance is needed because the course of the whole world is away from God. D, before we try to persevere in prayer, we should first make a vow to the Lord concerning our prayer life. Make a vow. Dear saints, make a vow. This 100 days, make a vow today. Today is the first day. A vow. You know what is a vow? A vow is not something that God called, asked for. A vow is something voluntary of our initiative. And a vow is more than just a kind of promise. A vow is stronger than that. I promise to do this. I will keep my vow. Make a vow. Don't be afraid, dear saints. Make a vow. And God will honor it. After we make such a deal, that means such a vow with the Lord concerning prayer, we then should set aside definite times for prayer in these 100 days. Don't just say, well, let's pray when we feel like it, because you won't pray. Set up a schedule every day with your companions at a set time. You know Paul, you know the early disciples, they pray at set time, the time of prayer. Now, I'm not Islam, I'm not. But there's one thing I appreciate them, and that is at a certain hour, they do this, right? Am I right? They take off their shoes, and everyone does that. Praying to towards Mecca, whatever. I don't mean to pray that way, towards Muhammad or whatever. I do mean a set time. There's something about a set hour, set time. Don't take this lightly in practice. You say, I want to pray, I'm burdened to pray. No set time. Well, you say, you just told us, pray at every time. Well, that's another matter, right? We need to pray without ceasing. But this kind of prayer for God's move, set time. I don't care 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, set time with your companions. There would be accountability. Okay. During these times, prayer must be our top priority. Our attitude should be that prayer is our most important business and that nothing should be allowed to interfere with it. We think to do this and that in the church life are important. Many important things we have to do. Shepherd, this and that. They are important. Even gospel preaching, very important. But I tell you, nothing is as important as prayer. So we all need to take the principle of tithing, that is to take the top tenth of your time and energy to give, devote that in prayer, to prayer. Don't pray until you're all tired out. Pray when you are fresh. Actually, I would promote, this is not legal, if you two or three decide to pray every day of 100 days, try to make that time in the morning. Try not to make it at 11 o'clock, you know. Unless you have no choice, right? In the morning, the best time to pray is in the morning. That is the top tenth of the time given to the Lord. Or noontime. It's still better than some late night time. Okay, all right. This is our most important business. F, for a normal Christian walk, we need to set our mind on the things above, having the renewing of the new man, have the peace of Christ arbitrating in us, and allow the word of Christ to inhabit us. This is all in Colossians. Prayers ushers us into the reality of these four things, and to keep us in this reality. So these things, they are actualized. They are experienced through our prayer. Okay, four, let's read. Six. I exhort, therefore, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all godliness and gravity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of our Savior God. Pay attention to this. This is now Paul talking to Timothy. He said, I exhort, in the context of the church life in 1 Timothy, first of all. Okay, now this couldn't be more clear. We're talking about priority here. What is the first thing in the church life? It is petition, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men. And also on behalf of kings. That means to pray for the government. Pray for the world situation. Pray for mankind. These are big prayers. Big prayers. All this is so that we can lead a quiet, tranquil life in godliness and gravity. That is the church life. This is a good and acceptable in the sight of our Savior God. A, after speaking of God's economy, and after charging Timothy to war the good warfare for God's economy, Paul indicates that a prayer ministry is the prerequisite for the administration and shepherding of a local church. Brothers, elders, when you come together, you should not just start talking and deliberating about church affairs. The first thing you should do is to pray. Then you administrate and shepherd out of that prayer. B, a prerequisite for having a proper church life in the Lord's recovery today is to have a prayer life. A proper church is a praying church. Now that's worth underlying, huh? A proper church is a praying church. C, all in the Lord's recovery must be prayerful and stand against the sin of prayerlessness. You go back to 1 Samuel. This is in the first message. He said, if I stop praying for you, Israel, I'm sinning against Jehovah. Let the Lord remove this sin from among us. D, if we exercise ourselves to have a prayer life, the church will be living and uplifted. No doubt about it. If all the saints are praying priests, praying like this, you will see the whole church will become buoyant. The whole church will just be uplifted. Even the meetings, you see a difference. I guarantee you, it all starts with the motor, the engine of prayer. E, we should pray on behalf of all men because our Savior God desires all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. Our prayers require for the carrying out of God's desire. After these 100 days, we'd like to talk more about this, about the gospel, about reaching all men with the gospel, about propagating the truth. All this is in line with the desire of our Savior God. But we must start with prayer. Let's pray first. Okay, 7. In Revelation. Governs the universe. So it says here, another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and much incense was given to him to offer with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense went up with the prayers of the saints out of the hand of the angel before God. And the angel then took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast that on the earth. And there were thunders and voices and lightnings and earthquake. And of course, we know this begins God's judgment on this earth in the last times, in the last years of this world. This is all part of his economy. But that judgment, that pouring out is what? Is the pouring out not only with the fire of the altar, but what is in the censer, in the golden censer. In that golden censer is incense. You know, incense refers to all the virtues and attributes of Christ. But not only there is that, there are the prayers of all the saints. In the last more than 2,000 years, in the last 6,000 years, all the prayers of the saints are in this incense bowl. And the angel, which is Christ, would take this bowl with this prayer and pour it on the earth, initiating the judgment, the clearing up, the cleaning up of this earth. Well, brothers and sisters, you think about this. Your prayer here and there may not seem to amount to much, but added together with all the saints' prayer, will one day be poured out. So don't despise your prayer. Pour it out on the earth. Bringing in the closing of this age. A, as another angel, Christ executes God's administration over the earth at the incense altar by ministering to God as the high priest with the prayers of his saints, adding his incense through these prayers. If there are no prayers, there's nowhere for the incense to be added. The incense would just be here. It needs prayer to be added to it. Christ needs to be added to our prayers to bring in God's administration on the earth. B, God's administration needs our prayers, which are a response to Christ's heavenly ministry. As we pray, he administrates, and as he administrates, we pray. We are, our prayer, the top prayer, actually is joined to God's administration. So I call this administrative prayer. Administrative prayer. Not a small thing. Not a small thing. I'll tell you, the White House does not determine things in this universe and on this earth. Right? It is the throne in the heavenlies. And our prayer is the way the church is joined to that throne. That throne will rule, but it needs the prayers for Christ to be added to it, to them, so that that administration can be carried out. You know, we are just small people. We're small in number in the churches. But, brothers and sisters, if you have this view, you realize our prayers are big, huge. It affects the whole earth. So I stop here with my speaking of this outline. Now, I want to do two things to talk about the next 100 days. Number one, I want all the ushers right now quickly pass out a card, a prayer card, in English, only the English, to all the brothers and sisters, so everyone will get one. Now, later on, as you leave this hall, you can pick up Chinese versions, Spanish versions, and Korean versions by the door out there. What will be passed on to you is only the English version. All right? The second thing I want us all to do is to take about 2 minutes to have some prayer. Then we will continue with some fellowship about the next 100 days. So pray with the 2 and 3 who are in your neighborhood. Amen. I hope you all got a card now. Do you have one? Please be quick, huh, brothers, so that everyone will get one. Now, after fellowship and prayer, the brothers here have decided that beginning today, I mentioned this already, until December the 21st, which is the eve of this coming semi-annual winter training in Anaheim. This is exactly 100 days. And we want to do something special, perhaps maybe even something unprecedented among us. And that is we want to separate, sanctify this 100 days as days of prayer, days of intercession, and days of petition. Now, we like to have as many saints in the local churches participate as possible. Every age group, even the young people, college age, even high school, it's not too young. The young working saints, the middle-aged working saints, the older saints, senior saints, the brothers, the sisters, everyone is qualified, if you have this will, to join and participate in these 100 days. Not only every age group, but every language group. Whether you speak English or Chinese or Russian, that was a marvelous table, wasn't it?
Amen.
Did you get the brother from Iran? We had Farsi.
Amen.
I think that's the first, at least in this country.
Amen.
And we have Spanish, we have Korean. Am I right?
Yes.
What a beautiful sight of the one new man.
Amen.
So whatever language, we all should join in to do the same thing. And I would even say whatever state you're in spiritually, stage, I mean, you're advanced, you're mature, you're young, you're new, doesn't matter. You also can participate. We want to see all saints function as a praying priesthood in these 100 days. This has not been done before. Never been done before. We're going to do it. I feel very challenged. I also feel very privileged. Now, what are we doing in these 100 days? In these 100 days, every day we will pray. How? We are going to pray, and I'm going to promote this the best, and we're not legal, but the best thing is you would pray, we will pray in twos and threes. Now, you may have four, you may have five. We're not legal. But the best is two and three, if you can do that. Where do you find these people? The people in your church. Ones that you know, your companions, people in your neighborhood, brothers who work in the same building downtown. If you say, I want to Skype with someone in another church, I'm not going to stop you. Just make sure you pray. Huh? But pray with those in your... One good thing is those in your small group, home group already. Form smaller twos and threes, subgroups, subunits. I would call them cells, prayer cells. It's very important. This is, all right? And of course, we want to strengthen our prayer meetings in these 100 days. Whenever we come together, Tuesday night, I hope many saints will come. Maybe not Lord's Day morning attendance, but it should be at least half of that. And not just a few showing up. We need a revolution in our prayer meetings. And after these 100 days, I hope this will continue. The whole prayer life and ministry is uplifted by many notches in these 100 days. All right, what do you pray for? I can pull out this card now. On one side of the card are just six verses, just the best verses of prayer that will remind us, that will nourish us and direct us. But look, on the other side, You have 7 days from Lord's Day to Saturday. And across from it are the exact subject of prayer or content of prayer for that day. Now you may say, now this is too restricting. What if the Spirit leads me not to pray that? Well, the Spirit may lead you to pray for many things, but this morning I'm going to somewhat insist you pray for this first. You say, you are not the Spirit. I know I'm not the Spirit, but I'm going to still say it. Pray this first. You say, why? Listen, imagine if thousands of saints in the Bay Area on a given day are praying for the same thing. I tell you the power of that prayer. The morale that would be among us is unimaginable. You pray this, I pray this. I tell you it's good, but you don't sense that you don't feel the one accord. I told the brothers, I said, what the earth is waiting for today, or what a church is waiting for today, is joined souls and bent knees. Joined souls and bent knees. Souls that are joined and knees that are bent. This is how we're going to pray. Now, I'm not requiring you to kneel down, depending on your situation. The Lord leads, kneel down. You know, kneel down, lean down and closing our eyes is not some religious thing. Kneeling down means our position before the Lord is one of submission under His throne. We are before the throne, before His mercy seat, before the Ark of the Testimony. That's a sign of that. That tells us our position. Closing the eyes simply means we block out everything. Every distraction, everything that is concerns us, we block them out. This is the time to concentrate and focus on prayer to God. You get it? So, all right. Now, let's read what we're going to pray for. Lord's Day, read, please. Pray for our country. Now, I'm not supporting certain Republican candidate who say, make America great again, you know. So forget about, I'm not in the political realm. But I am burdened for this country to be preserved and strong for God's strategic move on the earth. This country must be strong. And we have to pray for it. So pray for this country. Pray for its people. Pray for the government. Pray for the Congress. Pray. Monday, read. This is last year that this time we talk about renewal, revival. Am I right? In Northern California. Well, this is that kind of a prayer. Be specific for this area. That there would be a fresh move in growth and spread. Growth in numbers, growth in life, spread in churches, spread in the saints, amongst the saints. More testimony, more lampstands, more brothers and sisters. Ask the Lord. Right now, on the phone list, we have close to 4,000 on the phone list. And those who come on the Lord's Day once a month at least is 2,700. And those who would come every week to the Lord's Day meeting is about 2,200, somewhere like this. That's the number. We need to pray that all those numbers will increase. by X, you know, by folds, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Believe that. The Lord's testimony here in the bear must be strong in number, in increase, and in churches, of course, in life. Okay, Tuesday, please, read. Now we come from the area in general, the Northern California, to specific churches, to the local churches, your church, the churches in your cluster. I don't know, the Lord may lead you to pray South Bay, am I right? The Sacramento Valley area, or all the churches. Pray in this way. Pray for the elders. You know, we're charged to do that in Hebrews. Pray for the responsible ones. Pray for the churches building up. Pray for the meetings of the church. Pray for the local church's testimony. Okay, Wednesday, what do you pray? Read. Why do we pray to single out the young working saints? By the way, I'm thinking maybe just even strike the word young. Working saints, the age is from 25 to 50. All right? 25 to 50. Some are middle-aged, some are younger. But this is the core. This is the core of the church life. They're the spearhead. They are the pillars. And so we have to pray for them. I did a little guesstimate that 50 and over of these numbers I just mentioned to you in Northern California, 50%, half, is this age group. At least. Probably a little bit more. 30% are 50 and above. 50 and above. All right? That's getting close to 1,000. 800, 900. And then the rest, 20%, I would say, are those who are below 25. College age, you know, the young people, and so on. Now, this is our situation. The Lord has blessed us with a strong core. They are key. So you have to pray for them, all right? For their growth, for their function, for the gospel going out through them, for them to be shepherds, for them to serve in the church, and so on. So pray for them. Okay, Thursday. So we need to pray for full-timers. I think we should pray for over 100 full-timers that can be placed and sent to many places where we want to start the college work. There's still many places like that. We need full-timers. Also pray for our young that they would all have the great resolution in their heart to go to the full-time training when they graduate from college so that there would be a pipeline of full-timers. Pray for them. There are 17 full-time trainees in FTTA. Pray for them. By the way, I talked to them before you last week about this already. They are the first to know about the 100 days prayer, are the 17. I say, these trainees. I say, you all in the training center in Anaheim, get this card and you do the same for 100 days. You know what? This is exactly till the end of their term. Exactly. So they are going to pray. We are going to have 17 more people praying down south. Friday, please read. We need all saints for God's testimony, for the Lord's move. Every saint is important. No matter how old you are important. So we want to pray, as Paul charges to do so in Ephesians and Colossians, to pray concerning the saints. Pray for them, that they would all be going on and they all would be useful. There's a great need for senior saints in the move of the Lord. Great need. Great need. So pray in this way. Pray for the sisters. Very important part of the body life. Pray for the youngsters, what I call. Okay? You know, the full-timers part, I would say, don't forget, not just pray for the college campuses, pray for the high schools. The young people, our young people will become gospel seeds. You pray for that, okay? Saturday. So pray for your neighbors. Pray for your colleagues at work. Pray for them. The Savior God wants them to be saved. Pray from your own little Jerusalem, right? And go from there. Pray for gospel candidates. Pray for backslidden saints. Pray for people the Lord put in your path, in your life. Pray for them. Believe in the Lord and pray for them. I said that none of us sitting here in this room is here, can be here, without someone praying for you somewhere in the past. I know that. Absolutely. It's impossible for any one of us just to end up just like this. A lot of people were praying for Paul, Saul, this terrible persecutor of the church. I think so. All right, so here it is. Okay? Every day you pray, and then the next week you do it again. So the wheel is turning, right? One week a revolution, this great wheel. Now, it does not mean that this is all you can pray. You can pray this and you can pray some other thing after you pray for this, as the Lord leads. Now, how long should you pray? What? 30 minutes. I like that. But let's be practical. Let's be practical. I would like to suggest, although I said you can pray for 5 minutes, that's okay. I mean that, because if that's all the time you have, it's better than nothing. But 5 minutes, you know, very quickly, it's gone. You could hardly get to the burden. So I would say that it's good to aim at 15 minutes. It's not that hard. The college age did that for 30 days, 15-minute slots. Slots by slots. So you just take 15 minutes with your companion and just pray for that. And after that, you just go home. You just go do your thing. You carry on with your daily life. But If some of you have 30 minutes, I say, very good. 20 minutes, 30 minutes, right? To sustain 1 hour a day may be quite challenging, right? But if you, some sisters or the retirees and others who can do that, do that. It all will add up. Okay, so this is what you do. Now, I will say a few things about 2 and 3, and then I'm done. Why 2 and 3? What's so special about those numbers? Well, I did a search in the Bible and found out 2s and 3s is a divine, one of the divine numbers. Even God is 3. Even God is triune. So don't you think you should be? The Father needs the Son, and the Son needs the Spirit, and the Spirit needs the Son and the Father. I mean, that's a vital group right there. Without the 3 coordinating, God's economy cannot be fulfilled. God is 1, but it is 3 when it comes to operation. This is the word. 2s and 3s are for operation of God's economy, for movement, for activity. So the 2 things I don't have time to ask you to go home and read. One is Matthew chapter 18, and the second is Ecclesiastes chapter 4. You can go home and read that. And you'll be convinced before long that 2s and 3s is something quite much very scriptural, right? Okay, I'll be very, very quick, 5 minutes. In Matthew 18, when the Lord first talked about the church life, in chapter 16, he talks about, I will build my church, universal. Chapter 18, the local church. In that local church life, the 2s and 3s are mentioned 3 times for 3 things. Number 1, it is for their shepherding. You know of that sinner? He said, one should go, then he should bring another, then if not, bring 3. Out of the mouths of every 2 or 3 witnesses, talk about scriptural, 2 and 3 witnesses. It's all throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament. Again, an operative number. Okay, so that's number 1. For shepherding, 2s and 3s. Number 2, it is for prayer, binding and loosing. 2 or 3, binding on earth. What is on earth will be bound, is what has been bound in the heavens. So this is for prayer, and that's this next 100 days. Number 3, it is for fellowship. Fellowship. When 2 or 3 are gathered together, I am in their midst. Whenever the Lord is in our midst, that means we are having this fellowship with the riches of his presence. So these are the 3 things, all in Matthew 18. The church life, basic building block is 2s and 3s. So I hope the churches in Northern California will take this to heart. We're not legal about this, but it is in the Bible. I think these 100 days is a good time to go forward to develop this matter. All right? Now, how do you find them? I told the elders, don't make arrangements for the saints. Let the saints find their companions. Now, if you really don't know, you can fellowship with some others. All the leading brothers, they will help you. Right? A couple can be 2, right there. You see the point? Brother's house, apartment, right? On and on and on. Some sisters who serve together in children or whatever. So some of you have already prior relationship. Some of you have to engender new relationship. But just do that, all right? Don't be too picky and selective. But still follow the Spirit. Okay. Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, You have these words. Let me read to you. Two are better than one. This is in the Bible. Because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his companion. We all fall, right, sometime? You want someone to catch you? Well, you better have a companion. But woe to the one who falls and does not have another to lift him up. It's a bit of a curse to be just individualistic. You need someone to pick you up. Okay. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? You know, you do this, right? Well, you need two to be warm. And while a man may prevail against the one, the two will withstand him. This is that man we need to bind, right? And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So now you have two, and now you have three. A threefold cord. So I hope just this little passage will convince you. Twos and threes is something in the Word and something of the Lord for us to have a practical operation in our church life. So do that. But if you have four, you have five, it's okay. But I think you should not have too many because it takes away the prayer. We want everyone to pray and everyone to function. Now, in these prayers, dear saints, we may start somewhat in our mind, but it's okay. We will get into our spirit. Hebrews says, start in the mind, the holy place, and soon we will enter into the holiest place. Don't stop. Persevere. Right? I also would say, the main thing in prayer is not repetition of vain words. Don't just repeat some vain words. Okay? Then I would also say in prayer, one very important thing is earnestness and sincerity before God. That's why people fast. That's why people weep. This is not just making a show. This is a sign of earnestness and desperation. That gets God's ears. That gets the Lord's attention. Our earnestness and our sincerity in prayer. No need for a lot of eloquent words, but the sincerity is what touched God's heart. You remember the woman that prayed to the unrighteous judge? Am I right? Even turning him around just because she is so sincere. Also, one more thing, when you pray together, don't hog up the whole time. In 15 minutes, you pray for 10, and the other only have 5 minutes, right? So share the time, all right? This means don't pray for too long. Pray shorter prayers, but pray more often in frequency, all right? Rather than one long prayer and you sign off. You sleep, and the two other poor companions have to keep praying because you've done your job, you know? No. And also, when someone pray, the companions must support and join that prayer so that the three of you will pray one single prayer and not three diversely different kind of prayer. All right? So I think these principles will be helpful. I will just stop here right now. I think this is good. Amen? Now, you say, today it started, I don't have companions yet. Well, just start praying yourself today. I'll give you some grace to pray individually. But I hope in a few days, in this week, you will have these companions. And I hope in this coming Tuesday night prayer, we all will show up in the prayer meeting, and that your local church will talk more about it, fellowship more about it, and bring each other into this burden more. Now, one last thing is there's a website. It's on there. It says NorCal 100 Days. NorCal 100 Days. You can go to that site. and find a lot of ministry that will encourage you. You'll find the daily prayer to be prayed. And there's also something for your group to even write something down as a journal of prayer for yourselves in this. But you have to register, and everyone can register by going there. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, I'm going to end with this. I'm going to end with this. This time for sure I'm ending. Okay. Before Pentecost, there were 120. Pray for 10 days. That's it. 120. Pray for 10 days. Do you not think this time in the Bay Area, we can have 1,200 praying for 100 days?
Amen.
How about this?
Amen.
I think we should have more than 1,200. There should be, based on my calculation of the age bracket, there should be more than 1,200. So there should be maybe 500, 600 prayer groups nonstop before the Lord for 100 days. That will surely do something. May the Lord strengthen us.
Amen.
And bless these next 100 days.
Amen.